All right, open your Bibles to Psalm 145. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to read this together, alternating verses. And let's all stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I know we don't do that, but I kind of want our physical to kind of match our spiritual here today. Today's message is about the magnificence and awesomeness of God. And if we can get in our mind maybe that and address that. So what we're going to do here today, this morning, just to read this entire passage, I'll read the odd number verses and you respond with the even number verses. All right, so let's Psalm 145. All right, so I will read verse 1 and then you will read together verse 2. Try and keep the same meter, if you will. It makes it easier. This is not a race to who can say the verse the fastest. All right, so Psalm 145, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.
The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season.
Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them.
The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, remain standing while we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for who you are. Lord, forgive me for losing sight of that sometimes. And Lord, forgive me for thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. Lord, as we open up your scriptures today, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us through them, by them. Lord, may your word penetrate our hearts. And Lord, give us a clear vision of who we are and who you are. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for doing that. I know we don't normally do that, but I wanted to read the entire passage as a whole. Such a powerful, powerful passage. Psalm 145 really speaks of God's wonder and his awe. We ought to be in awe of the Word of God, but we ought to be in awe of God himself. As we look at these passages, as we look at this passage, there's just these words that just jump off the page to me. You see these words like glorious and greatness, terrible. These are strong words to describe the Lord himself. This is a clear and purposeful passage to describe the Lord. The word awe means to have fear mingled with admiration or reverence, a reverential fear. You know, when the Bible says to fear the Lord, that is kind of that awe. I am in complete subjection to God. In view of God and who He is, I am in awe. We use the word, our children use the word, that's awesome, right? Oh, we hear that frequently. How was your day? Oh, it was awesome. How was the birthday party? It was awesome. They use that maybe, how is the Lord? He is awesome. He is full of, He ought to bring an awe about us as we open His Word and read about Him. Our response to Him ought to be in awe. It's a dangerous place if a Christian ever gets over the glory and the wonder and the majesty of God. We're not seeing things right if that even begins to tread into our life. Regularly, I'll preach a message just to remind us of the magnitude of God. And the Lord led me to this passage again this past week as I was studying. The Lord reminded me again, yet again. You know, we're so like the children of God. I have children. I have to remind them. Hey, when you get up in the morning, take care of this, do that. I've said it countless times, but yet I still remind them. And the Lord has told us countless times certain things, but it is good to be reminded of these things. Let me ask you a question. Has your awe of God worn off? Have you gotten over the majesty of God? I pray that we get a little glimpse of that here this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 3. Psalm chapter 145. We're going to spend most of our time here in Psalm 145. I do not perceive that this message will take us long to go through, but then again, I've said that before. All right, Psalm 145, as we look at verse 3, it says, "Great is the Lord." As I told you, this passage, all of Psalm 145, tells us some very descriptive details about God Himself. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 145 that the Lord is great. Great, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. I say, what does that mean? I can't find it. You can't find the end of it. You can't find the limit of God. If you're looking to capsulize God and His greatness and set parameters about His power, about Him and His fullness, you will not be able to draw up any sort of boundaries. Why? Because He is unsearchable. There is no end to the greatness of our God. Look over just maybe one page, Psalm 147 in verse 5. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." That gives us a good definition of what that Psalm 145 and verse 3 is even indicating. Great is the Lord and of great power. Is anything too hard for God? We're asked that in Genesis. Is anything impossible for God? No. Because great is our Lord and of great power. Hey, if there's a circumstance in your life that you are crushed by, that you are diminished by, hey, know what happened? You've lost sight of the awesomeness and greatness of God. Because there is nothing He cannot do. Your marriage holding on by a string? Allow God to get involved. Your faith wavering? Allow God to get involved. Hey, you need a miracle? God holds all power. His understanding is infinite. Ever feel like God just, No one understands what I'm going through. The Bible says that not only is his power great, but his understanding is infinite. That means not only is he omnipotent, holding all power, but that means he is also omniscient. He knows it all. He knows where he's got you going. He knows where you've been. He knows your struggles. He knows your fights. He knows it all. And the Bible says he is great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Look over at Psalm 86. Joe, I'm going to need you to run out and get me a cup of water. Bottle of water, cup of water, preferably not a spoonful of water. Thank you. Could just wring out his shirt. Psalm 86 and verse 8. Look at these verses. Among the gods there is none like unto thee. Know what that tells me? There's other gods. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall magnify thy name. Look at verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Do you see the difference? Among the gods, there's a difference between that God and the God in verse 10. See, the God in verse 10 has a capital G. The God in verse 8 has a little g. Say, oh, it must have been a little typo. Oh, no, not at all. That was deliberate. Because there is one almighty God. Oh, sure, there's a lot of gods. We can name them. But there is truly one God alone. That is who we're reading about in Psalm 145. The great God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. You can't put a limit on the Lord. Say, so how does that affect me? Before that, look at Romans chapter 11. Look at this verse. Romans chapter 11. You'll want to keep your hand all morning in Psalm 145. I promise you, we'll be going back and forth. If you have a hard time, this is what I tell people. If you have a hard time going back and forth between verses, find the main passage, stay there. I'd rather have you get what the Lord has for you than get distracted by looking verse to verse. We do that with some of our students in school. Hey, I'd rather in chapel service, just pay attention, get what God has for you, than be fighting with pages and things. All right? Get the main passage, hold that there, and stick with it if you have a hard time with that. So, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Say, what does that mean? You're never going to figure it all out. You're never going to be able to, oh, I understand what he's doing there. You can't, because there's a limit to what we know, and what he knows is limitless. God is great, and his greatness deserves our praise. Back to Psalm 145. Look at verse 1. It says this, I will extol thee. What does that mean? I will magnify thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Why? Because the Lord is great. If we lose sight of the greatness of our God, if we lose that awe of God, you know what's going to happen? So goes our praise. So goes our magnification of him. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever. That'll cease if we lose that. All of these things, we'll keep going back to verses 1 and 2 because God, number 1, is great. And verse 8, it tells us point number 2, the Lord is gracious. When we lose sight of His grace, you know what happens? You know what stops? So does our praise. So do we stop blessing His name. If we lose sight of the very character of God, the thing that we were created to do will stop. There is no amount of effort and time that we could put towards understanding or appreciating God and His character because the effects in our heart are so real and genuine and what God actually wants out of us. When we recognize who God is, I bless Him. I praise Him. Say, why is my praise stopped? Because maybe we lost sight of His greatness. Maybe we have lost sight of His graciousness. Look at verse 8, point number 2. Not only is the Lord great, but the Lord is gracious. This whole passage, as best as it can in our eyes, not to the a complete list, but begins to define God for us. He's great. He is gracious. Say, how does that show up in my life? Look at the next phrase, full of compassion. How much does the Lord love you? Yeah, about that much, right? Or is it Ephesians? Go to Ephesians. This isn't in my notes. Here, hold on. How much does the Lord love me? Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, the Lord is compassionate towards us. And I'm grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How much? Immeasurable. Immeasurable. God is gracious, and in His grace, He gives us a gift, His compassion. How many of you deserve the Lord's compassion? How many of you? And I need it. I need God's love every single day. I need to be reminded of it. Because in myself, I'm unlovable. Says this. Imagine all that the Lord knows about you. Just imagine for a second. My kids were coming in this morning. I come in early with the boys. We get here early and we take care of some stuff and we pray together and that's a blessing. And Sarah comes in later with the three younger ones, right? And one of the three younger ones came and report to me, Mom's going to need some TLC. I said, well, you know what that means, right? That's an acronym for tender loving care. I say, why? What happened? The other two were not so good this morning. I don't know what happened, but I called them immediately into my office, sat them down. They both know. They're just looking at you. They're, Roger, pitiful. Pitiful. I don't even know what's going on, and I'm bothered by it. And the Lord knows everything about us. And the Bible says He's gracious, full of compassion. What's that next thing it says? Slow to anger. Slow to anger. all that you know about me and you're slow to anger? That's grace. The Lord is gracious. And if we ever get over His grace, you know what's going to happen? We will cease to bless His name. We will cease to praise Him. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. What a great God we have. All that He knows about me, and He says He's slow to anger. Slow to anger. May I say He is the slowest to anger. Sure, I've been chastised by the Lord in my heart and things, but I have not seen His wrath in any way. Thankful. How great is our God. He's full of compassion, slow to anger, great mercy. Look at Psalm 116. Again, keeping your hand in Psalm 145. Psalm 116. In verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. You know, sometimes we turn a blind eye to things. Why? We just want to be gracious. But the Bible says somehow God is able to take graciousness and righteousness and mingle them. Yea, our God is merciful. May we never get over that. May that never get old to us. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to read till the end of the chapter. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Remember, the Lord is gracious. And He showed His grace by offering salvation. To who? To all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Because of salvation, there's a response that God expects from us. Is it too much to ask? I do not believe so. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Say, what is it saying? He says, don't lose sight of God's grace in your life. Don't forget about that. Why? Because what you'll end up being is the very thing He saved you from. God's gracious. And in no way do we want to overlook His grace. Go back to Psalm 145. I don't know if the psalmist was thinking of Baptist preachers when he was writing this. But in verse 3, the Bible says, great is the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious. And verse 9, the Lord is good to all. This is awesome. They all start with the letter G. This is great preaching. And it's right there. I didn't have to use a thesaurus at all. The Lord is good to all. How many of you have been a recipient of God's goodness? Oh, man. Absolutely. His tender mercies are over all His works. God is good to all. He even says in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. God not only is great, God not only is gracious, but He is good to all. Everything God does is good. Look at verse 9 again. The Lord is good to all. And look at, it describes his actions. His tender mercies are over all his works. How many of you could say that everything you do is tender and merciful? No. God says everything I do is covered in my tender mercies. And we just grow so accustomed to that. We just so expect that all the time. And God in his perfect nature changes not. That's how he always has been, and that's how he always will be. But somewhere along the line, we got to be careful that we not lose sight of that. That we not get over God's goodness. That it still touches our heart. Look with me, ready now, in the book of Nahum. Nahum. Say, is that why you said if I struggle with finding, maybe? If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 952. If that helps you, I don't know. Maybe it helps you, maybe not. 952. Nahum chapter 1, we're going to read the first 7 verses. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous. Normally when we speak of jealousy, it is a one of sin. Because I want what you've got. But God in his jealousy is perfect. Why? Because what he desires is your worship, and he's the only one that demands everything that you have. God is jealous. And the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is... Did you read what we just read there? Let's read verse 2 again. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. And the Lord revengeth and is furious. And the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And we read this and we get this view of God and say, I'm afraid. And then we read verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger. And great in power. Know what God has that we fail at? Control. We let our emotions dictate our actions. God can feel something, and in perfect grace and in perfect mercy act. The Lord is slow to anger and great power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and rocks are thrown down by him. Look at verse 7. Saying those things and then coming in verse 7. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Say, what is that? God working in his perfect work and just covering it all with his tender mercies. We just read that he can make the mountains flatlands, and he can take all the flowers and incinerate them, and he can burn it all and make it all dry. And the Lord is good. God is good to all and righteous. Everything God does is right. Let that set in for a second. Everything God does is good and right. Have you lost sight of that? Do you know better? Have you lost the view of the awesomeness of God? Psalm 145 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever, because I can see his greatness. Because I know he's gracious. Because I recognize his goodness and righteousness. Look at verse 14. Say, what happened with the G's? They departed. I don't know. They left. In verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raise up all those that be bowed down. Here we have the match, or the meeting of man's weakness and God's greatness. The weakness of man meeting the strength and very goodness and greatness and character of God. And what wins? The other morning it was Hudson got up, and I think it was yesterday morning. It was a Saturday morning, and we were having I don't know. All the days blur. And I was tickling him, and I had him pinned on the floor with my feet, and I was using my feet to tickle him in his ribs, and he's laughing, and he's twisting, and I'm not letting him up. He's laughing. You know, sometimes when we get down, we feel like the Lord is just putting his foot on us and keeping us down. That's not what that verse says. No, the Bible says that the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and he raiseth up those that be bowed down. He doesn't hold us down. He is there to lift us up. The weakness and frailty and sinful nature of man meets the very character of God. And which one wins? The character of God. He lifts us up. He doesn't let the sin hold us down. Psalm 27 in verse 10. Psalm 27 and verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, look at what it says. Then the Lord will take me up. There's two people that you would feel like in your life should never forsake you. It would be your father and mother. And God says, even if those two do, hey, I don't know the circumstances, maybe it's on the kid. Maybe the kid's a mess and the parents are like, we won't have nothing to do with you. And the Lord says, I'll still take you. Maybe there was a tragedy and there is no father or mother. And the Lord says, I'll be that to you. How good is the Lord to us? He doesn't hold us down. He lifts us up. Look at Psalm 41. No, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Look at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And he says, I will strengthen thee. Know what that means? I'm weak. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, what does he say to us? He says, when you're down, I'm going to leave you. No, that's not what he says, is it? He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand. Proving to me that God was right-handed. So that you may, look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The weakness of man meeting the very character of God. And God in his character just oversteps and lifts us up. Helps us. Have you lost sight of that? Have you forgotten the very character of God? In the midst, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When he lifts you, when he makes any move toward me, and I know my sinful nature and flesh and what I'm fighting, and he comes by and he lifts me up, encourages me, it just makes me want to do right. The Lord upholdeth you. Lastly, Psalm 145. If we lose sight of his greatness, if we lose sight of his goodness, if we forget that he's there to help us, what will happen? Well, I'll tell you what won't happen. Verse 1, I will extol thee, my God. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. You lose sight of God's awesomeness, and those things will cease. But you get a hold of it. You get a little glimpse of glory for a moment, and you can't help but praise his name. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh. What does that mean? Close. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Nigh means to be near, not distant or remote in place or time. To be nigh means to be at the same place at the same time. And the Lord says, I am nigh. That means I'm right there. You'll never be alone. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Lord, help! Boom! Psalm 34. Two more verses, I think. We're still on page one. Say, how long is page two? Not long, that's why. All right. Oh, yeah, we do got a couple of verses. Okay. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 18 says this. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Somewhere in your life, you are going to experience brokenheartedness. It's part of life. And we feel like that we need to somehow impress God with our togetherness and having it all working. And God says, no, I'm near when you're a mess. Good, because I'm a mess all the time. The Lord says, I'm nigh if you ask. Ask for help. I'm close by. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. The awesomeness of God. He's great. He's gracious. He's good to all and righteous. He upholdeth you and he is nigh. Meaning close by. Jeremiah 29 verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me and ye shall go and pray unto me, and he says, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and it says, and find me. And ye shall search for me with all your hearts. There are some qualifiers in there, sincerity and truth. But the results you can't argue with. If I truly recognize my need for help, God says, I'll be there to help you. Hey, in your life, you need direction, you need strength, you need help. Hey, why don't you get the focus off yourself and start looking at the awesomeness and greatness of our God and call upon Him for help, because He's right there. He's nigh. Have you lost your awe for God? I'm going to ask you a pointed question. Are you more enamored with yourself and others than you are God? Oh, when I run into trouble, I know where I'm going. Have you made a substitute for the only place God can hold? Have you lost the awe and wonder of God Himself? Listen now, if we saw the awesomeness of God, see, if I lose sight of that, I've got to substitute it. Something has to enamor me. I worship something, and it may even be myself. Could you imagine substituting the greatness of God for my strength? What happens when that happens? If we saw the awesomeness of God, we would not be so greedy and covetous. If we saw the awesomeness of God, our eyes wouldn't stray after lustful images and thoughts. Why? Because we're enamored with the goodness of God. And Psalm 145 says, when that happens in His creation, the Bible says, I will extol Thee. That means I'm going to magnify God. And I'm going to bless His name, not just for a moment, but forever and ever. I'm going to praise Him forever and ever. Why? Because I have His awesomeness in view of my heart. And I'm not going to chase after this little carrot that the world offers. If we saw the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't get angry at our children so easily. Why not? Because we're just as much a mess as they are. If we saw the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't pout and get hurt so easily in our marriage. If we saw the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't worry about our looks so much. If we saw the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't waste so much time on mindless things. If I had a view of the awesomeness of God, we wouldn't get so discouraged with the evil and godlessness of our culture, time, and society. Why? Because my God's great! And you can try and substitute it and create whatever world you want here, but the Bible tells me that He has all dominion. Go with me back to Psalm 145 if you're not there. In light of all that, there was another one thought, and this is it. I'm just going to show you a couple things. When we get view of God's awesomeness, verse 1 says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, I will bless Thy name. How do we do that? Verbally. Verse 2, every day will I bless Thee. Verbally. I will praise Thy name. Look at verse 3. Great is in the Lord and greatly to be praised. Verse 4, our generation shall praise Thy works together. They shall, what's the next word? Declare. When I get view of God's awesomeness, I can't help but talk about it. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And man shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts. Terrible is solemn. And I will declare Thy greatness. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. Hey, when we get view of that, it can't help but come out of us. Verse 10, All thy works shall praise thee, and thy saints shall bless thee. Look at verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Verse 12. I will make known to the sons of men. Last verse, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Have you lost sight of his awesomeness? Have you gotten over his greatness? Have you grown accustomed to his graciousness and his compassion? Do you expect him to just be good all the time and fail to praise him and tell others and bless his holy name forever and ever? Have you forgotten that he's there to uphold you, that he is nigh unto them that call upon his name? The point of this morning's message is to remind us how awesome our God is. Let's all stand.